into the garbage, you flyboy!
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Hello, everyone. So we're going to be starting. We do have a couple of more panelists that are going to be coming eventually, but it's 7 and we only have 50 minutes to talk, and there's so much Star Wars, so we're going to be doing that.
Let's just talk about Baby Yoda for 50 minutes.
No. Okay, first of all, just to get things out of the way, in terms of spoilers for things, if you say anything about rumors for The Rise of Skywalker, I will have to murder you.
But yes. Twice.
Yes, yeah, I'm very carefully being spoiler free. There's one of our other panelists.
Hey!
And I have a confession to make before we begin.
All right.
I have had to wait for my daughter, who is 13 and very much into Star Wars. I've had to wait. She was Anna in Frozen and has had tech week for the last week and a half. We have not watched any Mandalorian yet.
Ooh.
I am aware because, you know, I exist in the universe of social media of Baby Yoda. And I would love to talk about Baby Yoda for 50 minutes, and I could, but just don't spoil Mandalorian for
okay.
me.
Okay. We were planning on going very light on Mandalorian, but we did want, because I love Baby Yoda so much. But yeah, if one of our panelists is unaware of Mandalorian, then we'll just, you know, talk about things that are general.
Are not Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Or very vague. Maybe.
Why Phantom Menace should have won every Oscar?
Because costumes.
Okay, first of all, let's introduce ourselves. Is it just the four of us?
Andy is supposed to be here, yeah. But I know there's some stuff going on with his department, so he may or may not.
He may not make it.
Okay, so I'm the moderator. I'm Claire Mosley. I'm also known as MC on the podcast The Trash Compactor, which actually this panel is being recorded for that podcast. So say hello to everyone.
Hello.
Say hello.
Sorry.
And here comes our other panelist. Here we go.
Staffing this convention has decided to put the start time of your staff thing, of your panel, at the same time that you're closing your staffing place.
Well, welcome to our panel.
We are just kind of getting going. But,
so I do apologize.
But yes, as somebody who co-hosts a podcast called The Trash Compactor. I love Star Wars. I have since I was born, a month before Return of the Jedi came out. And
I'm so old.
Wow, dang.
See,
I don't
think
you're right.
Yes. What was it like seeing dinosaurs?
Sorry, my lightsaber talks sometimes.
Was dating them, that was hard.
I know that feeling. But we can...
Yeah,
you want to start here?
I'm Sarah. I also host on the Trash Compactor podcast because talking about Star Wars is awesome, which is why I come to Doctor Who conventions and do the Star Wars panel. I grew up with Star Wars and then I fell away from it for a long time and stumbled back right around Force Awakens, actually. And I say Force Awakens brought me back to Star Wars, but then Star Wars Rebels kept me here. So I have a really massive soft spot for all of the animation. But I kind of love everything, and I do love the prequels. I'm just putting that out there right now. I really do. So.
My name is Brian Biggs, and I am the CEO and president of Random Tuesday Incorporated. We are better known as the Fanthropy Running Clubs, Whovian Running Club, Potterhead Running Club, Chilton Running Club, and Fandom Running Club. We are a geeky-themed nonprofit that inspires geeks to be more physically active while raising about $2.5 million in the last 5 years for more than 60 small direct impact charities all over the world. So it's geeky philanthropy, or as I call it, fanthropy. We are in Artist Alley, so if you want to stop by tomorrow and say howdy, I can tell you all about it in further detail. You already have a card, and you're awesome. You'll get one of those special cards. It can be yours and stickers, Whovian stickers as well. So that's awesome. I saw A New Hope in theaters. I was not really old enough to remember it fully. I can tell you that one of my earliest memories is having Yoda on my birthday cake.
Yes.
And I got Yoda underoos. I got Yoda everything that year. Yoda has been my homeboy since I was as tall as Yoda. And in college, my call sign in Air Force ROTC was Yoda because I was the short but smart guy. So Yoda has been my homeboy for my whole life. So, yeah.
Cool. My name is Galen Jenkins. I'm a Star Wars and Doctor Who fan. I can't say any accolades like that that you have to follow up, but watched Return of the Jedi in theaters, so I'm that old, and was able to thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm a fan of all of it. The thing is, I love Star Wars, yes. Like Anthony Daniels said, I think at the Chicago celebration, guys, there was a 16-year journey from Return of the Jedi until Phantom Menace was able to come back into the theater. So, but I do love all of it. John Leeson, I asked him one time, he's a wine connoisseur, which do you love, a red or white? And he's like, all of it. And so I do that, I feel that way about Star Wars and Doctor Who as well.
I'm Andrew Anderson. I know I'm a staff person here. I do have a blog that I write, often geared towards things called Stay Nerdy 101. And a lot of times it is geared towards commentary on things or thoughts. A lot of times taking like the most obscure thing you can find in any kind of universal story and finding things such as why Mario is the villain in his games. We can talk about that another time. And as well as I've done like maybe one Star Wars thing, it's probably my next gear, especially now the saga is coming to an end. I also have a cousin who works for Lucasfilms. She was hired by Kathy about a month before, literally hired by Kathy, a month before Disney bought them. And so she has actually worked on Rebels. That was her first writing and niche. Kiri Hart is her name. And that's my cousin. And so it has been I've loved Star Wars even before she got it. And then as she got it, and to watch characters that I knew already become great, but then watch new characters get shining in a way that was magnificent and felt like Star Wars and yet not what we've always had. Showed us a world that could be so much more than just the Skywalkers and made it so that we can end a saga and still have stuff going on. And so I love this stuff just the same. There's parts of the prequels that I'm struck on, but overall I do enjoy those. Those were the movies that came out when I was a kid. Right? I was that kid who
graduated from college.
Be clear. When I said kid, I was like teen.
Okay, teens. Okay. Teens. All right. Okay. Thank you. You're helping. Yeah. You're helping.
But still, teen. I was teens. It was teens. You know, it was teens for me. It was high school at that point.
I saw Phantom Menace when I was 9.
Oh.
Not theaters, but on like videotape.
What was that?
On videotape. The first one I saw in theaters was Force Awakens, but I saw Phantom Menace on videotape when I was 9.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before that, I saw the special editions.
I rented A New Hope on Betamax.
Yes.
All right. So, moderators go.
That's my love of this to the point of that when I saw the weird Star Wars panel, I had to attack for that one because it's become personal for me.
Yeah.
From just being something that's passionate to me to this is a family thing, officially a family thing.
Well, you mentioned the saga ending, which is. Who has their tickets for The Rise of Skywalker?
Three tickets.
I don't have to buy them.
Ooh, fancy.
I live in a small rural town in Connecticut that has a first-run movie theater that no one goes to.
Yeah, really.
So I can go the day it opens, and I also am my own boss, so I can go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon while everyone else... suckers has jobs. And I am going to pull my child early from school, as I did the same thing with Endgame. We pull early from school and we'll go to like the 1 o'clock show when no one else is there. So I don't have to buy advance tickets.
Jealous.
There is a hand up in the back.
Yes. Would you please adopt me and
if you want to move to Connecticut. All right, fair enough. He's a New Englander. That'll work. You got the credit.
But so the saga is ending, but Star Wars is not going anywhere. We've got The Mandalorian going right now. The books are incredible for anybody who's not reading them. They're just so good. And
if I can say, I grew up with Timothy Zahn. Mm-hmm.
With Timothy Zahn, and he's doing stuff now.
He's doing stuff now. But and then there was kind of a period where I just really was of the opinion that no one could reach Zahn level. And no, but some of the stuff that's come out in the last few years is really there.
Yep. Yeah, reached and exceeded.
Yeah.
I mean, the Claudia Gray
series. Aftermath, I forget the three names of them, but
it's Life, Death, and Empire's End.
Thank you. Those three alone are amazing to see right after the fall, the initial fall of the Empire, the end of Endor, and seeing kind of the aftermath of, like, Empire's still trying, like, no, the Emperor's not dead! And trying to hold things together, and the New Republic's like, no, he is, this is ours now.
For anybody who dislikes the prequels, and in particular Jar Jar, there is a scene in the Aftermath trilogy that will make you weep. With what happens to Jar Jar. It's so touching.
All right, maybe I have to read that one.
And I love that it follows Wedge. Wedge and Tilly.
Yes.
It really has him as a focal point.
Well, a lot of the post-Endor books do talk about Wedge a lot, and he's a pivotal character.
And I love that because, like, we don't get a lot of him in the sagas, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's such a pivotal character in the story.
He's absolutely
incredible. We know him so actively important, and they give him a defined name, and he... So to see him go after that and what had come through his life and stuff.
In a way, what they have done with the most recent two movies and soon Rise of Skywalker, the character of Poe Dameron is basically Wedge Antilles if they had developed Wedge Antilles in the movies.
Yeah. He is Wedge Antilles with Leia, with a lot of Leia put in there. Like, his role in The Force Awakens is as Princess Leia, just missing, just very different hair. Very different hair.
But still good looking hair.
Fantastic hair.
Fantastic hair.
Told you I'd get that in there.
I know you would. I did not doubt you one bit.
But,
I forgot the question already.
Was there
a question? No, I have a question. You were just talking about this because I brought up the books. End of Saga.
But yeah, there's all, we have The Mandalorian, we have the books, we have a lot of
the next season of the final season of Clone Wars is finally coming.
Yep.
Clone Wars.
We're going to see Ahsoka become what she is in Rebels.
Yeah, I am rebinging all of Clone Wars to get back in time, just in time for that, and then I'm going to do Rebels all over.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I have a plan.
I have been saying I am more excited about the last season of Clone Wars than anything else Star Wars coming up, and that includes The Rise of Skywalker. So.
Fun story on Rise of Skywalker. I staff conventions. This is what I do. So I staff most of the Green Pop. I was doing Star Wars Celebration when they premiered the Rise of Skywalker first trailer. For those of you who don't know, Ian McDiarmid, a.k.a. Palpatine, was there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best and most amazing thing was, so they had the panel for it and stuff, and then they said, let's play the trailer. So they play it, powerful trailer, the stage goes dark. Red lights come up. Ian standing on stage, and in the Palpatine voice goes, "Play that again." And they start the trailer up again.
Yes.
I'm in the overflow. We were loud at this cheer. The actual main stage was the giant arena they built from McCormick Place. We could hear them yelling.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how loud the crowd was when Ian just was on stage. He wasn't in the panel. They didn't know he was going to be there at all. He just appeared.
Well, I knew something was up whenever Jay-Z said, you know, we're going to let you guys watch it. We're just going to get off the stage. I'm like, usually I remember all the actors from, I think, Force Awakens. They all sat down and they kind of watched it. I'm like, why are they clearing the stage?
And I'm like, oh, yeah. There was a lot of because they were avoiding certain questions about the enemy. And it's like, well, an evil, what does that mean? The panel watching J.J. and Kathy talk about it. A lot of times they just throw the question over to the other person. They would just pan it off
It was so funny because we were at Celebration as well. And for the first, before the panel, you have all of these people complaining about, well, they got rid of Snoke in the end of The Last Jedi. And then they have the trailer with Palpatine in it. And just Snoke theories just immediately died.
Snoke?
Nobody
Snoke?
Cared.
Snoke? I'm sorry. Who is this Snoke you speak of?
Snoke? Never heard of him.
So, yeah. But we were in line for the Celebration store during the panel and into the trailer because we're not panel people. Things like this notwithstanding. but they were streaming it, so we actually didn't miss anything. We're both sitting here with a headphone in each ear on my phone watching the stream. We get to the trailer just as we walk into the store, watch it. You didn't realize that Palpatine at the end.
The laugh?
I did. So you didn't. I didn't realize you didn't know until...
When Palpatine laugh comes, I screamed.
I
was watching it on my computer, and I screamed like a seven-year-old girl.
Yeah, it was noisy in those.
It was crazy.
We have a question here.
Was I the only one when I first heard that laugh thought it was Mark Hamill as the Joker? because you hear Hamill's voice, and then you hear the laugh, and I'm like, it's Mark Hamill going crazy? Is Luke going crazy?
You might have been. That's good. That's, you know, the crossover with the Joker and Batman into Star Wars. No, can't do it. No.
It happened. This is not actually. The Liar's Lego Star Wars did that. He goes into the wrong cell looking for Leia, and the Joker's sitting in there. This is the best scene in Lego Star Wars. And he goes, the wrong cell. He goes, oh, and pause, steps out. Comes back, goes, your voice is familiar. Have we met before?
Oh,
and then he walks, yeah, that's it. That's in Lego Star Wars. I'm like, thank you.
Which one?
The first one. New Hope, Lego Star Wars. I can't remember which one. When they did one of the Lego Star Wars shows, movies, they threw it in there. And I'm like...
Of course.
I'm like, I appreciate this so much. Did you have a question?
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, I was also at Celebration, sitting in a lot of lines, scrolling through Twitter after the trailer drops, and just, reading people's reactions was just the paramount of joy. And there's already people... going in, editing the trailer, replacing the Palpatine laugh with, Nicki Minaj's laugh. It's so weird. And I'm like, I love this fandom.
I'm sorry, but Palpatine's not that evil.
Okay, so, no spoilers, but does anybody have any theories for The Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be epic.
I'll be second, because I don't want to be first.
I'll be first, because I've been saying it for a year now, Skywalker is going to become a legacy name. Yes. It's not going to be a specific person who is a Skywalker. Rey is not going to take the Skywalker name. Kylo Ren is not going to suddenly become Skywalker.
He is a Skywalker. He is a Skywalker.
But not by name. That's what I mean.
Okay, keep going, because I think you and I are...
Yeah.
Because that basically replacing the name Jedi.
Yes.
The Jedi have come to an end now because as he talked about in The Last Jedi, they discussed, this is something that belongs to everyone.
Right.
Everyone should be able to access this power, not just the Jedi. The Jedi have kept it to themselves with their teachings. We need to... So it would be the Rise of Skywalker, meaning those who walk, those who walk with the Force are Skywalkers.
Than Jedi or Sith.
Right.
And I don't want to use Grey Jedi because that's not quite it.
Right.
But the Force has no good or bad, it just is.
And we do actually have some canonical basis for it in the Thrawn, Allegiance?
Is that the newest one?
That's the one with Anakin and...
Yeah, that's on Alliances.
Apparently, within the Chiss species, which Grand Admiral Thrawn is, anyone with Force potential is called... They're called Skywalkers. They're actually used to guide the Chiss ships through...
They're pilots.
...wild space, so...
Wow. But I had this theory before that book came out. I want to say that.
That's an excellent theory.
Sorry, that would
make a tremendous amount of sense. I like that theory a lot.
Thank you.
You don't usually hear that on a panel where I have no theories because I'm going with
that. That's what I said. I am claiming first call on theories here.
I am totally going to steal it and claim it as my own.
Go for it.
Amongst only my immediate family.
Okay. All right, your turn, Andy.
So here's the thing, and this is a theory in that the Chiss are going to be showing up in this.
Oh, I hope so.
Because of that term of Skywalker, the Rise of Skywalker, it would be showing them showing up in this rather than something else. So getting that worked in. other things, Rey is a clone. Pause.
Let the man speak.
Theories.
Theories.
Okay.
it's actually a very viable thing in the fact that who created the clones?
Palpatine.
Palpatine is the reason why the clones exist.
Yep.
Palpatine was the only person who actually knew about the clones until the Jedi showed up. In fact, when Obi-Wan was going to search for them, right, the Kaminoes, when he was searching for them, the person who told him, I was like, I haven't seen this in decades. I didn't even know they existed
anymore.
Yeah,
they'd been wiped from the Jedi library,
exactly.
All of that.
So they did not exist.
And if you read the Timothy Zahn trilogy, it's about Palpatine minting himself like a new dollar bill.
Yep. Further, we know for the fact that, thanks to, apologies for spoilers who haven't read the comic, Palpatine created Darth Vader. Palpatine created Anakin. Yep, he manipulated the Force to get Shmi pregnant. So Anakin literally was born of the Force. And so because of that, we know that he manipulates things to have things come to be. It's not unprecedented, being that they have hints of this throughout other lore, of other books and stuff, of him creating other things to try and keep himself alive. Also the fact that he was studying, how can I keep myself for living forever? The clones make sense. Creating a clone of some way, shape, or form, of something, to keep that going forward there. Two, we know that she was created in a weird way. I don't think she has any lineage to any of the people we've ever seen. And I don't know if it's a drunk traitor, but I don't think she has any actually lineage family to anybody we've seen. Because we would have gotten that. Rian Johnson would have given us that. He's a good enough of a director and creator. He would have given us that in The Last Jedi, if that was actually active. So the only active lineage link we have to the Skywalker family is Kylo Ren. We have that link. We don't need another. As much as I love Obi-Wan, I don't see him, even after coming out of it, breaking his Jedi code and having a kid. Yes, he was in love with people. We know that through... we know that throughout the
Clone Wars. What's his team?
By lore, there is at least one other person he's in love with who's not that far from Tatooine. He wouldn't break the code even then. The way he starts teaching Luke stuff, right? Like, it's within the code. He avoids telling him the truth about Vader early on. He avoids telling him the truth. This, from a certain point of view, mentality is a Jedi mentality. Right? It's a wrong mentality. But it's a Jedi mentality. They hold back truth until it's vastly needed to help the light side of the Force.
Rey's a clone.
So Rey actively being a clone makes sense, being the fact that Palpatine is confirmed as a person inside this. And if that's confirmed, then he has a connective something to something in here. And that would be my adamant thing of that's why he's a clone. If there's anybody in here that's going to be connected to Palpatine, it's going to be her, simply through clone thing. Who she's a clone of now is the question. I don't think she's a clone of Palpatine. So that's a question.
No. Mara Jade.
Off the table.
No.
Mara Jade is not canon yet. Sorry.
That was a joke.
I want her to be, but no. I don't think they're going to.
I'm sorry. I told that joke in Comic Sans. You couldn't read it. But anyway. So don't take it seriously.
Nope.
So do we have a theory from you?
But here's my thing. I don't like to theorize.
Okay.
Now, the only reason why, and I try to avoid any thing on YouTube or anything like that. I'm here listening to you guys because I consider you all my family. Your Doctor Who family. We've been to the celebrations together as well. So that's why I'm willing to sit and listen. So I just want to sit down on the 19th and take it all in, and then I'll watch it on the 20th. And the 21st, and the 22nd. Until it leaves the theater.
Yeah.
That is a very healthy way to look at things, because I think a lot of people became disappointed with The Last Jedi because there was so much theorizing, and then The Last Jedi destroyed so many of their theories, where it's like, yeah, Rey's not a Skywalker, or Rey's not whoever, and so I think not, having theories is a healthy way to go about things. Now, let's hear my theory.
Yes.
So,
Speaking of unhealthy,
take a look at my shirt. My theory is all about Bendemption 2019.
Okay.
And my whole thing is that Kylo Ren is entirely going to be redeemed, and also survive his redemption. This is not going to be a Darth Vader thing where he, you know, kills himself in order to save people, because so much of what's happening with Kylo Ren and Ben Solo in the ancillary media with the books and the comics are all about humanizing Ben Solo and making him seem sympathetic in why he fell. Like, we find, they haven't actually released it yet, but there was a preview for Charles Soule is doing the Rise of Kylo Ren comic, which is coming out, I think the first one's coming out the day before Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I think it's the first issue the day before.
But the preview for issue 2 really makes it sound like everybody thinks that Ben Solo massacred everyone at Luke's Jedi Temple. That's not what happened. The people at the temple chased him off and actually went after him. And Ben was, like, super scared and, like, had no idea what was going on and basically ran to Snoke because Snoke was his only friend. And I don't think you put that much effort into humanizing a character that is just going to die in the next episode, because they want to be able to do things with him and have people understand why he died. I don't know what's going to happen else with the redemption, because I know a lot of people have their theories as to what redeemed Ben Solo would be like, and in particular, very much based around his relationship with Rey. I don't know what's going to happen there, because that could go a lot of different ways, but definitely, if they can give me anything in this movie, I figure out a way to CGI Carrie Fisher getting a hug. We know she's in the movie.
We know she's in the movie.
They're using a lot of footage from The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, but I really need to see Kylo Ren on his knees hugging Leia and apologizing.
See, now I need that.
I get what you're saying. I'm going to... Mild connection. They're avoiding any use of CGI with her.
I know.
They want to respect her enough.
Right.
They were not... The one thing a lot of people had down about Rogue One was the use of CGI of Carrie Fisher at the end of Rogue One. I didn't mind it. I actually thought of the two CGI characters there, that one was perfect. Grand Moff Tarkin had some issues.
I didn't mind Grand Moff Tarkin.
Also creepy, though.
Yeah, he looked just as creepy as he should be. I think
he seemed a lot more thin out and gone in the face than the cat.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher. I wasn't wild about Carrie Fisher's CGI.
I personally thought it looked.
But there is camera angles you can do and stand-ins you can do. You can give us that moment without using a single second of CGI.
Yeah, CGI was perhaps the wrong word, because I mean they're going to have to manipulate the footage to be able to have it be usable for these movies.
Well, the great thing is a lot of the stuff they have are things that were cut that weren't specific to unique scenes in the
background X flowers
so,
behind her.
So
kind of thing,
it worked out of like the scenes to fit into the story that they already had.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to plug those scenes in. And I'm actually glad we're getting that stuff. Personally, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see them add more to it than what they already have for it.
Okay.
That's a personal
thing?
That's
fair. But also, sub-theory, I think that Leia is going to survive.
Oh, yeah.
The Rise of Skywalker. I don't think that they're going to people through losing Carrie Fisher again.
The fact that they gave her the power that they gave and survived her through Jedi was a clear sign that she wasn't going to die to me. To me, like she.
Yeah, if she was going
to
die,
of all the characters
that
stand from the originals, she's the only one that will truly live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to see Lando live, but that's a possibility of him.
Well, he's in the Millennium Falcon, and that thing's pretty good luck.
Junk.
It's pretty good luck, though.
I'm not going to toss another theory that's less plot driven. Has anyone read Resistance Reborn? Oh, come on, people! It's a great book. You need to read it. What it does is it's kind of the Avengers Endgame of the Star Wars book universe. It brings in all the characters from, like, Poe Dameron comic and the Inferno Squad and...
Wedge
is my favorite character in all of Star Wars, just to put it out there.
Same.
Awesome. So it pulls in all of these characters. And what I think is going to happen... I'm trying not to spoil the whole thing. But it ends in a point that they are looking for more. And I really think a lot of those characters are going to show up as backgrounds in the movie. They're not necessarily going to be named or even focused on at all. But they're kind of those Easter eggs that you go, oh, look, there's Sir Linda. Or there's, I think Wedge is going to have a part. Really do.
Did they say he was
going to be in it? Still not official. There's, this is not there's a very substantial rumor. It is still just a rumor. A podcast supposedly talked to Dennis Lawson's publicist,
but it's
his agent.
It's still just a rumor.
Yeah. But the fact that Resistance Reborn, like, Wedge is right on the cover of the book. So, like, he's a major character in it, and they really set up him coming back into the Resistance. So, I'm keeping my hopes up.
But a lot of those characters from the book are very identifiable. So, just visually identifiable.
Yeah.
You don't need to name them to know who they are. And I think a lot of them are going to show up in the background in crowd scenes. And you know, stuff is an Easter egg for us.
And of course, one of the big things with the Rise of Skywalker trailer was that one shot of all of the ships
yeah,
that have
like,
ever existed.
Yeah.
The ghost.
Yeah. And I will absolutely die if... we don't even need to see her, but if we just heard in voiceover my wife Hera.
Yeah. and the little son, Jason.
If Jason was in there too, that would be cool, but I mean...
I just want to hear Chopper's grump.
I mean, Chopper is somebody that we could have in because we already saw Chopper in Rogue One.
There we go.
Yeah.
And droids survive a long time.
Droids survive.
There's no reason why not.
But with Star Wars, there's just so much stuff to pull from these days. And having the stuff crossover is great. And just some light things from The Mandalorian, but Life Day is now canon again.
Yes!
Yes!
Wait,
say that again? What did you say?
Life Day is canon.
Yeah.
Don't sound so excited down there.
Movie's not canon to me ever.
The movie is not. But Life Day itself is.
I do love that the creators, the holiday special will never be canon, but they keep on cherry picking all of these little bits and recanonizing them because Life Day is now canon again, and
so
we've got Boba Fett's.
Does anybody know why the canon quickly altered when Force Awakens comes up? So, does everybody understand why the movies are actually being made? Like, why we're actually getting these now?
Yeah.
It's because of Disney. Well, no. So, here's the thing. When Lucas gave the company... Joys of having people involved to kind of these things up. When Lucas gave the company to Kathy Kennedy, he had one thing in the contract with her. You cannot make any more movies. Lucas refused to make Future. One, because there was a lot of uproar back and forth about his new movie, so he was in a pissy mood about that. And then two, because of the fact that there was so much in lore of the future, there was no way he could pull it together. So he gave it to Kathy. That was the one stipulation in the contract. She could not make more movies. Could not. Then she sold to Disney. Kathy Kinley has not made a movie yet. Disney's making movies. So now they were going back into it. Great. What do? Well, we have still a lot of stuff in the future. Anything we do is either going to alter that and make it people complain and stuff or not. So the wisest thing to do is to set the proper canon. So they took its movies and the TV and the Clone Wars TV show, and they made that canon since those fit in a canon that they can work with. None of that stuff was ever off the table. JJ never wanted to get rid of all of it, but he knew he had to cut that stuff out. And Star Wars under Lucasfilms understood they need to cut those things out and then just slowly introduce things into them that are going to make it fit with the canon they have, but be able to tell these stories we're getting.
Right. But at the same time, now Lucas did set out with the books, he set out very clear timeline parameters. Here's time periods where you can write. Here are time periods that you cannot write about. Here are characters you may write about. Here's characters you may reference. Here are characters you can see, but they will never speak. Like, they can walk through a scene... Like, oh, I see so-and-so. That's nice. You saw them. They didn't speak. They may or may not have been there. You may or may not have been correct. But he told the authors what they couldn't do. So he left Phantom Menace. He left that time period. Anakin's story. He left that so he could do that later. he had not quite defined the future
as
well. He did leave some pockets, certain things they couldn't do. So there was some maneuverability. There was some room to maneuver.
He felt that it was just too much, and then after the mixed feels of the prequel series, he became a pissy brat. It's true, and that's why he stopped making movies and said he was done. Because he had a 9-movie. His original plan was to do 9 movies. Was to do these 9 chapters. His plan was to do 4, 5, and 6, where we got the original series, to do the prequels, and then to finish off them.
Right, that was the original plan.
And then he said, I'm done.
Yeah.
After the pissiness. And then he said, well, everything's canon, so I don't have to write future things. It's all there.
And, well, I mean, Disney getting rid of all of the former... Because, I mean, it was...
But
the way Lucasfilm canon worked before the Disney sale was so convoluted because there were levels of canon. It's like you had the movies at the top and then you had all of these things underneath, and it's like if the movies did something that contradicted something that happened in the books, what happened in the movies, that's what was canon. And they were like Han and Leia got married twice. And one of them was in a book about, you know, there was space whales, and I know there's space whales in the actual canon now, but they're a lot cooler in actual canon, but they were called space whales. Or whaleidans. And there was, like, a green message, and dark side users were like, you know, dark greetings to you. It was awful.
Yeah, that was
the Mothmans.
Yeah, and like, the Legends canon was really...
difficult.
Yeah.
Which is why I love that they made them called legends. So it's stories that could appear inside the canon universe, like these are stories they told. Yeah. Not guaranteed they're real, right? But they're told.
But I just want Tales from the Cantina to still be...
Tales from the Cantina and Tales from Jabba's Palace are excellent books.
Tales are spectacular.
You get bits and pieces of those in from a certain point of view.
Yep.
That you get a lot of the Cantina perspective, which is kind of the same. Not quite, but it's close.
Solo feels a lot like the old Han Solo adventure books.
Yep.
There's references to the Han Solo adventures and the Lando adventures in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a tent of Solo. Like, Ron Howard did an amazing job with it. Just being handed after all the change over there.
And for those that wanted to bag on Solo, I enjoyed that.
I like Solo.
I enjoyed the heck out of it. Now, that said, I will watch Rogue One every day for the rest of my life and be perfectly
content.
Thank you!
Yes!
Like,
oh, yes.
Perfectly content with that, because that movie's just perfection
in every way. I want more with that group.
I just want more, like, but I can't get a prequel to that one, and I can't get a sequel to that one. Nope.
You don't want to get Bothans?
You get the Cassian and K2 series.
There is the Cassian and
K2. Cassian and K2. Yes, we are getting Cassian.
Getting the prequel.
We are getting Cassian, but we can't have her.
We can't have what we saw with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
However, have any of you read World 1 Catalyst?
Yes.
No.
Worthy book to read.
Yeah.
Okay. You get a lot more of her father, and you get that close.
Cool.
And it's so good because it's a great build up to the actual.
And there's a kid's book focusing on Baze and Chirrut.
Yeah.
That I can't remember what it's called, but there is a kid's book that focuses on that.
I think it's called Guardians of the Wills or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Very good and well worth reading.
Cassian and K2 show isn't called Fulcrum, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, that show should really be called Fulcrum.
All right, there's going to be a fight now.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah. Yeah, who's trained in sword fighting?
Cool, I got another person here. Awesome. All right,
prove it.
You're
the only person in the room.
Who's grabbing your popcorn to watch this?
What?
General martial arts count?
All right, so what's your next question?
You're the moderator.
I got very distracted.
We have a question.
Out of theory, in episode 9, either 3PO dot and 3PO blows up, or R2 blows up.
I think we're gonna lose 3PO.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Well, from the trailer, I what are you doing? I am taking a last look at my friends.
I actually have a theory on that too. And I don't think we're gonna lose him in the sense that we lose him as he's not gonna be around anymore. I think what's gonna happen to him is what happened to the robot in Solo. I think by the way the cores are attaching and stuff, the way things are going, I think he's about to be integrated into a ship. Whether it is fully the Falcon again, or if it's a new ship, the way things are connecting and stuff, the way it's looking at least, you know, hip. It's like he asked. It seems like he asked this person connecting him to turn his eyes on, so he can look at his C one more time before he changes into something different.
Well, now I will tell you that this goes back to original Lucas. The chroniclers of this entire tale are two droids. R2-D2 and C-3PO are in every pivotal scene, specifically and on purpose. At every critical juncture, every critical moment in the history of this saga, C-3PO or R2-D2 are present. They together are the chroniclers of this story. It makes sense that one of them should not make it to the end.
I have heard a theory, though, that was very interesting. I believe it was on the Sky Talkers podcast, which is a wonderful podcast that people should listen to, that we have 3PO, and he's attached to all of these things, and he's looking at his friends for one last time. And I've heard memory wipes being suggested, but also maybe it's not a memory wipe that's happening. Maybe it's a memory reboot happening, because they might need to find out things from the past for different characters. And we've seen shots of a ship that certainly looks like the Tantive IV in the trailer. And the Tantive IV was the ship where 3PO was memory wiped at the end of the Revenge of the Sith.
That's where we first see him
It's where we first see him. But it's also where he had his memory wiped. So maybe his memory is still on that ship. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Maybe they need to get access to some information on Palpatine.
So they're reloading a previous operating system.
Yeah. Exactly. And so he does.
They're
so
putting
he's,
iPhone 4 onto an iPhone 10.
And so he's looking at his friends for one last time because he's not going to remember them. So he's going to go back to being Revenge of the Sith era.
3PO.
Ooh.
That's a hell of a theory.
I like both those theories, actually. Although I have to say, I don't want to see 3PO with the Falcon, because him and L3 together would be a
combination.
Yeah, it would be, but I don't want to see it.
Actually, I'm trying to remember which book it is that, and it happens before Solo, where one of the droids mentions the droid brains of the Millennium Falcon really enjoys gossip and dirty jokes. And after Solo came out, everybody's...
Was that in the Last Jedi novelization?
Yes, it was in the Last Jedi novelization. BB-8 mentions that one of the droid brains of the Millennium Falcon likes gossip and dirty jokes. And then Solo came out, and it's like, that's L3.
Yep. It's kind of nice to see it all tie together.
But yeah, L3 would not get along with 3PO.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's Falcons. It didn't seem like they were in the Falcon.
No, but you mentioned the Falcon, and that was just the first thought I had.
That's because it's the most iconic ship we really have.
I know.
Of people not. But I mean, like, it could be Poe's ship. It could be the Tantive IV again. Maybe
that would be appropriate.
It could be another ship that we know but maybe haven't seen in a bit.
I don't want
it just seems like.
I don't want it to be Poe's ship, because Poe's ship's always exploding.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Gorgeous hair, but bad at keeping ships not
floating. Don't blame him, that's just luck.
Maybe C-3PO will keep it together. No, that's not true. C-3PO keeps exploding, so...
yeah.
So maybe it is Poe's ship.
Maybe it is.
I mean, that actually makes sense now.
Yeah. What if 3PO's brain goes into an X-Wing?
You would hate that.
So it becomes Poe's ship.
Yeah, so like, and like R2, that's, they put R2 into Poe's ship, so 3PO and R2 are on the same vessel.
Yeah, but that's starting to get a little intimate.
Because they haven't.
They have been common law married for...
Yeah.
True.
R2, I may put on a few pounds, but I'm still the one you love.
Stop breaking, Claire.
I'm trying to keep this ship together, and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Talk about ships.
Okay. X-Wings are awesome and gorgeous, and I love them, and I want one.
Well,
and if I could have anything, I want a full-size X-Wing in my backyard.
What is our favorite, what is actually favorite ship in canon lore?
X-Wings?
Whether it has a name to it or not, what kind of style, action?
X-Wing.
Yeah,
X-Wing.
No, it's not for me.
It is for me.
What I was so thrilled about from The Last Jedi was actually seeing something drop a bomb.
The bombers.
Actually dropping bombs. B-Wings dropping bombs. Because that's the whole point, is that they're bombers.
Yeah.
You know, Y-wings are heavy ships, and A-wings are, you know, attack support aircraft. But and we'd seen B-wings before.
Mm-hmm.
It was a B-wing on steroids. But we'd never seen one actually drop a bomb.
Sure.
And so getting to see that, that was like, nice, nice.
And everyone's bitching about it because, oh, it's gravity in space.
There is still gravity in space.
It wasn't
all objects have gravity.
It was based on magnetics.
Yeah, magnetics, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But again, all things do have gravity and will attract each other in space, just not quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I mean, props to the actress who I can't remember what her name is, who played Paige Tico.
Oh.
Because thank you.
That's a deep pull.
She had one scene. And I think she had one line in it. It was just yelling at her pilot or her bomber. And she was excellent in that scene.
Powerful.
Beautiful.
Favorite ship? I would have to say, I mean, obviously the Falcon, but I've always had an affection for Darth Vader's command ship, the Executor. I just like the name. Yes. And then, like, when it would come into... To play, you know, the shadow of it and just kind of creep and look over. I always thought that was so cool. It's like, he's here. Darth Vader's coming.
Moncali Hammer.
Moncali
Hammer. It's a ship that they often don't use, and so to finally get it seen proper use in Rogue One and use as what it was created for was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
So just hear Akbar go, "Give me a hammer." I'm like, "No!" And then just see Pierce and just hits the Star Destroyer and just starts pushing. I'm like,
That was designed for.
This is why it's here. This is why you like it
it's
was
a blockade breaker.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful opportunity to just finally see the Moncali Hammer actually used.
Will be in episode 9?
Huh?
Do you think it'll be in episode 9?
I don't know. They haven't utilized the Moncali stuff as much besides having Akbar kind of appear briefly. And so I'd love to see more Moncali stuff because I love the Moncalis.
We do know they did a comic leading up for the journey to the Rise of Skywalker, which was
Allegiance.
Yeah, it was Star Wars Journey to the Rise of Skywalker. Star Wars Allegiance.
Sounds about right.
Worst name.
Yeah, it is.
But Admiral Akbar's son appears in it, and we've already seen standees for the movie. And there is a conspicuous Mon Calamari who looks very much like the one that was drawn in the comics. And he did supply the Resistance with some ships. We don't know what ships, but...
I will say, I love the fact that the Mon Cal have never been on the bad side of any of these wars. Every single time they show up, it's like, we're fighting for the Empire, or we're fighting for the Republic, which is the good guys during this Clone War. We're fighting for the Rebels during the Civil War. We're fighting for the Resistance. I'm like, I love that you guys are never bad.
Who hates a squid? Who hates a squid? They're trustworthy. They're delicious.
So we've only got a couple of minutes left for this panel. So I guess final comments... we didn't get to talk about Baby Yoda at all because we were staying away from Mandalorian spoilers, but I will just say that Baby Yoda is the most adorable spoiler that has ever existed.
I don't even like children.
It's not
too.
Yoda, but here's the thing.
We've actually never gotten a species name. In all of both canon lore now and in all of the books ever written, everything ever written, we've never given that species a name, and we've only ever seen two of them in all of lore.
I hope they don't give it. In Legends, there was a couple. We had Yoda and Yaddle.
That's it. That's all we've had in canon.
I didn't even know there was a second
one. In current canon, yes.
Do we think the child from the Mandalorian was going to show up in a future film franchise and that it was so long?
I would like to see rebellious teen Yoda.
Aren't we technically
I am Groot.
I mean, he's 50 years old.
I think the Mandalorian is a good tool for I have friends, we all have those friends. I've never seen Star Wars. I don't like Star Wars. I can't do it. I'm like, take this. It's only 40 minutes, or you know, And if you're not going to like this, then you, yeah, your Star Wars probably won't be for you. Right. And I'm not even going to try to push the issue. I just got to say, the Mandalorian sounds that you hear, and I was like, ooh, you know, and I wish you could smell it too, because I'm just like, oh wow. And then,
are you guys thinking the music?
The music is fantastic.
The music, I do love
the artwork on the end credits. Yeah, I'm going to keep it spoiler. The artwork
spoiler,
the
it has music.
How dare you!
A score!
Without giving, the one thing I had, that was my one drawback at first with it, was the music. It didn't feel Star Wars compared to, like, a lot of other stuff.
But the thing is, Star Wars is changing.
No, I know, but like, in the Rebels music series, which is drastically different than what John Williams did, it still had the styles of it. Even in Rogue One, even in Solo, even in Resistance, even in Clone Wars, right, they pulled from what John Williams had given us and altered it to fit with the style, right? And this is such a drastic, it felt such a different change. It felt a lot more like Hans Zimmer type, which is, I love, but it threw me off at first.
But I think this is the first.
It seems like it's brought in a lot of Western influences, a lot
of
Sergio Leone influences.
I'd say the ending is very like John, it passed the John Williams test. If you're able to say the name of the character within the theme, like the Mandalorian, then it's a good thing. So on that criteria, I think it's a good score.
Yeah, this is the first test, I think, that Star Wars, for the longest time, has been this grandiose space opera. But if they're going to be coming out with Star Wars every, couple of years, and they're going to be doing all of these series, if it's going to keep going, it's really got to reinvent itself. It cannot stay this static thing. It's got to change, kind of like with how the MCU, you have movies that are vastly different from each other. Like Winter Soldier is a political thriller, and then you have Ragnarok, which is like this... The 80s threw up all over it.
And the greatest comedy achievement of our time.
And that's kind of the way they're moving Star Wars these days. And The Mandalorian, it's like, okay, we're going to do a space western. And it is just embracing its western roots. And I think we'll start to see more of that coming out of Star Wars.
Be clear, I didn't hate it. It's just that was the putting off thing of the whole show. That's what kind of pushed me that I need to push through a few episodes to really decide if I'm going to like the show. So that's my one thing about it. I love the Mandalorian character. I love what they're doing with him. I love that they have this truth of Mandalorians do not remove their helmets. It does not come off. Right? It doesn't.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
You know that about...
Spoilers. No, that's
well, no, their helmet right does come off if they meet Mace Windu. But too soon? Come on.
Or if they're Sabine Wren.
Right, that's...
But she also went... spoilers... to the Academy, so let's remember she was going to become an Empire Academy,
right? So, but you are getting into a little bit of plot stuff there. So.
I guess it's the fact that I already knew that because it's part of lore. I
know,
wasn't
but that's why
the plot.
I just don't want that to lead to anything that's actually spoilery.
We are actually out of time at this point, unfortunately. But
find us in the lobby later. I will happily continue to talk about Star Wars.
We will talk about Star Wars. We also have Star Wars ribbons.
And yeah, I've been playing, having lightsaber fights in the lobby at night. So
I can actually teach you how to do some fun fencing if you really want me to. Mm-hmm. Teach you how to handle lightsaber a little bit better.
Yeah. And, so I think that's going to be it.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always.
May the force be with you.